Because of the memory of Paul Bearer. This is Spoilers, episode 62 for March 7th, 2013.
Can hold my body down. There ain't no grace can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grace can hold my body down.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Spoilers, episode 62 for March 7, 2013. My name is Ben Garland, joined by my awesome co-host, Graham Matthews. What's going on, man?
How's it going, Ben? Doing great today. Ready to discuss an awesome edition of Old School Raw from this past week, as well as the unfortunate passing and shocking passing of Paul Bearer from this past Tuesday night, and everything else going on the road to WrestleMania and just less than a mere month away.
Exactly, and I'm sure everyone listening here has eventually... Tuesday night, it was announced that Paul Bearer had passed away at the age of 58. Very sudden, very shocking, and very saddening for everyone here in the WWE, for everyone in the WWE family. It really seemed as though no one had any bad thing to say about Paul Bearer. He was obviously one of the legendary managers, managing Undertaker, Kane, and Mankind at one point. But even the personnel inside the WWE didn't write a bad thing to say about him. Truly a very sad passing to miss.
Exactly. It's extremely unfortunate. As I just said, shocking. As I said before, no one saw this coming. I mean, at the unfortunate age of just 58, I mean, I understand that he had poor health from what I've been reading. He was not well in the last few weeks, but even still, coming as a huge shock to the WWE universe, especially considering the fact that he was just here just a mere month ago. About a year ago, he appeared on Monday Night Raw alongside Kane and Randy in a brief backstage segment, and he was highly rumored to be at the Raw 1000 show alongside the Brothers of Destruction, and unfortunately couldn't make it due to a conflict, I believe, but now we won't be able to hear that anymore or see that site anymore with the Brothers of Destruction, which is extremely depressing, but that being said, yeah, this is a major loss to the WWE universe.
Definitely. Now, coming up this Monday, what do you think the WWE should do as a tribute? Should they have something with Undertaker and Kane, or what?
Well, thankfully, last night on WWE Main Event, they aired a graphic in memory of Paul Bearer, so that's great to see. I didn't think they'd do it on such short notice, but they did, so I was very happy to see that. Here's hoping they'll probably do the same thing for SmackDown this upcoming Friday, and the same thing for Monday as well. But as far as the segment goes, I mean, it's Paul Bearer, as you just said before, one of the most legendary managers in WWE history. So it would be a little bit underwhelming if they only showed that graphic. But as we saw with Macho Man Randy Savage a few years back, they dedicated a whole 5-minute tribute video to him on Monday Night Raw. So that was great to see. Curious hoping they do the same thing with Bearer. If they do something with Punk and Kane, I'm not too sure about Kane. I would be surprised if they involved him, especially given the whole comedy thing that he's been doing with Daniel Bryan in recent weeks. Undertaker, I could see. Maybe he name drops him real quick or something like that. I could very much see something happening with Taker regarding that. Here's hoping they don't do something with Punk regarding that. As you saw back in September when he was taking shots at Jerry Lawler in his heart attack angle, something that legitimately happened and legitimately scared the WWE Universe. So I wouldn't suspect that they would go that far to have Punk bring up Paul Bearer just to garner heat. That's an extremely cheap shot, so I don't think they would go that far. But as far as Undertaker goes, I would love to see something with the Brothers of Destruction. I'm not anticipating it. I mean, I'm not expecting something to happen. I would love to see it, but I just don't expect WWE something for them to do something like that so sudden, maybe down the line. But he was hoping that Taker at least mentions it or pays some sort of tribute to Paul Bearer, either this upcoming episode of Monday Night Raw or WrestleMania following his victory. something along those lines.
I think we'll probably see something at WrestleMania, some sort of tribute. We'll probably see the graphic tomorrow night on SmackDown. But since those shows, main event SmackDown, weren't live, kind of impossible to do the video package, and besides that, I think the video package is going to be saved for Monday when they can do it live, have the announcers' reactions, everything like that. And I definitely think he deserves a video package. One of the best managers, one of the most legendary managers of the 90s and the 2000s. Just really one of the prime figures in the WWE, and he really deserves a special tribute. Now, what I hope they don't do, like you said, don't let CM Punk, or rather, don't make CM Punk make some kind of heel remark about it. He said something with Lawler, but first of all, Lawler always will do anything for the business. He let Michael Cole talk about his dead mother a couple of days after it happened. He let Punk talk about his heart attack because Lawler will do anything for the business, and I'm sure he approved that or maybe he even suggested it. The way that The Undertaker worked, Undertaker probably wouldn't allow it in the first place. You can't really get consent from someone who's already passed away to see if it's okay to use it in an angle. So I really don't think that they'll do it, especially 5 days after, 5-6 days after it happened. I know some people were bringing up, well, Batista used Eddie's name in the feud with Rey Mysterio. Well, I think that's different. That was a few years afterwards, and while I still think it shouldn't have happened, the situation there was quite different. So that I really hope that they don't say anything in terms of CM Punk. Maybe Undertaker can drop his name, maybe do a little tribute to the urn or something like that. So that's what I see going up on this Monday.
Yeah, even before the Batista thing, you brought up a good point involving the Eddie Guerrero situation from a few years ago. Even before Batista name dropped Eddie Guerrero and saying that Eddie is dead, Randy Orton did the same thing prior to WrestleMania 22 when he was talking to Rey Mysterio and when they were feuding. As you said, extremely unnecessary, despite the fact that it was even months after the injury happened. Doing it a week after it happens is extremely sudden. That would be extremely tasteless. And again, I don't expect WWE to go that route. Because as you were saying before, Lawler would do anything for the business, so he, of course, gave pay for that, as they did with the whole Michael Cole and his mother's death thing a couple years ago. So, yeah, here's hoping they don't go down that route. But someone just sent me a link to a Paul Bearer tribute that they aired on their YouTube channel at WWE Fan Nation. I have yet to watch it. I bet it's amazing, and it'll probably that's going to be the video package that airs on either SmackDown or Raw or both this upcoming week. So I'm really looking forward to that. He very much deserves it. And another thing, you know, in terms of deserving, the WWE Hall of Fame, a lot of people are jumping the gun and saying, myself included here, that he should be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. But well, just speculating,
not this year.
Wait a couple years until they induct, you know, the Brothers of Destruction together or just Taker and Bearer, which I think is probably a better idea at this point in time. But yeah, I want to get your thoughts on that as well.
I will say not this year. While it would be a nice tribute from WWE, it could also be seen by a lot of people, including me, as just cashing in on the opportunity to make people watch the Hall of Fame ceremony. Next year is when I want him in. Not this year. It's too short a notice, and it takes away. Because his death will just overshadow everyone else that's well-deserving of their Hall of Fame place that's going in this year. I think they should wait until next year, make it a big deal. But this year, I think, is not a good idea.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, next year it's going to be WrestleMania 30. It would be absolutely perfect for it. I'm not saying, maybe they'll do Taker and Bearer together. I would love to see that happen. That would be a fantastic idea. But I don't know if Taker's going to be retiring or entering the WWE Hall of Fame as soon as next year. But even just putting him by himself, that would be great, too. I mean, as you just said, having him enter in the same Hall of Fame class as guys like Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, Trish Stratus, Mick Foley, Donald Trump, all five big names all by themselves. So, quite honestly, they don't need Bearer this year. He's another huge name that can headline a Hall of Fame class all by his own, even though he's not still alive. But you get my point, though. But he would be overshadowed by guys like Sammartino and Foley, who should be headlining this year's class. So, yeah, I would definitely wait until next year. And as you said, cashing in on it would be a bit unnecessary. Some people were saying the same thing with Macho Man last year that he should be inducted. I think that was more the case that he can't be inducted. Some family situation with his brother Lanny, but that aside, yeah, I think it would be way too soon to induct him in the Hall of Fame, despite the fact that Eddie Guerrero was inducted in the Hall of Fame the year following his passing. But then again, that was 3 to 4 months after he passed away, not a month, so not just mere weeks. So, yeah, I would definitely wait until next year until for that to happen.
Yeah, and I would say that with Macho Man, my problem with them inducting him the WrestleMania after he died was that fans had been wanting him to get in for years, and there was always a conspiracy theory of why isn't he in yet, and I campaigned against putting him in the WrestleMania after he died because it would have been cashing in on his opportunity. Now, I think since a couple years passed, he definitely needs to go in. And my sentiment is kind of the same with Paul Bearer. And you said, and my thoughts are not that the names in the that are going to the Hall of Fame this year are going to overshadow them. I'm worried that his death is going to overshadow everyone else, because that's what people are going to be thinking about, because it would have been 3 weeks, 4 weeks from the Hall of Fame induction since his death. And that's what everyone's going to be thinking about. And I think that these five people that are going into the Hall of Fame this year need their moment and rightfully deserve their moment. And I think Paul Bearer rightfully deserves his moment, and I don't want anyone overshadowing anyone else. So that's why I say he goes in 2014.
Very much agreed. Yeah, WrestleMania 30, I think, would be the perfect location for it. As I just said, that's going to be their biggest anniversary in WrestleMania history since the 20th anniversary, disregarding the 25th anniversary. But even still, it's going to be huge. Here's hoping they do something with Taker. I wouldn't doubt if Taker inducted him. I would probably more see Kane doing it, since he's a more vocal superstar, of course. He's not that mystique, you know, he's not all that mysterious anymore. He inducted Drew Carey a couple of years ago, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him induct Paul Bearer down the line. Maybe Taker, I would love to see that. But, again, I think saving those guys for a package together, I think, would be great. Well, with that being said, we do have a caller on the line, area code 626, please state your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on Paul Bearer.
Hey, Graham. Hey, Ben. David.
Hey, how's it going, David?
Pretty good. Just at home. Yeah, were you guys discussing the Paul Bearer passing?
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about Paul Bearer and the fact as to whether he should be inducted in the Hall of Fame this year or not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree. This year would be not too soon, but I think next year would be more appropriate. Because like you guys are saying, his death would foreshadow everyone else that's in the Hall of Fame this year. Because, the people they have this year are really big. Like Bruno Sammartino has been years overdue. Mick Foley has been years overdue. Trish Stratus, Donald Trump. Bob Backlund too is long overdue. So yeah, his death would just foreshadow the rest of the people in the Hall of Fame. And yeah, I'm not saying that in a bad way. Like he does deserve the Hall of Fame, but people will look more of his death than what he accomplished. Like pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah, it's way too soon to be cashing in on his death by entering in the Hall of Fame, as we just said. I think next year would be a more likely a possibility, or even further down the line. But even still, I think waiting until at least next year, at the very least, would be the smartest move at this point.
Now, one thing I could see happening at this Hall of Fame is to get a nice little tribute from Mick Foley. The Mankind personality was one of the people who was managed by Paul Bearer early in the 90s. So I could see a little bit of tribute at the Hall of Fame ceremony by Foley as he gets inducted.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I could see that as well. Like we were talking about before, something with Taker, I wouldn't doubt that as well. If they had him enter the Oh Yes thing that he did at WrestleMania 20 when he first came back for the Dead Man persona, I could see that happening. I could see if it didn't happen. I'd be fine with it if it didn't happen, because I don't really expect WWE to go beyond and above just to mention Paul Bearer. I expect them to not mention him at all. I mean, they're obviously going to show the video package and whatnot, but as far as Undertaker goes, the match at WrestleMania with CM Punk, they're more than likely not going to do anything. But again, I would love to see it. It would be a very nice touch, very respectful touch on one of the greatest careers and one of the greatest managers in wrestling history. So As long as they don't have Punk, you know, mention him like we were talking about before, I'm fine with it. But if they can go, mention it. What was that?
No, I was saying, of course, to have Punk go out there and, well, not saying that Punk can't want to do it. Of course, if he's told to do it, he's going to do it. But it would just be wrong of him to go out there and just bash Paul Bearer just to get heat from the audience. It's too much to him.
Yeah, exactly. He's already got, you know, quite a few things to talk about in his feud with Undertaker. As we saw this past week on Old School Raw, he was bringing back up the fact that he was straight edge, going to be the first straight edge person to ever end the Undertaker streak, stuff like that, which was kind of interesting because that's what he was talking about when he first feuded with Taker back in late 2009. We haven't seen this straight edge side from CM Punk in quite a few years, so I'm intrigued about that. I said this on my Twitter page a few weeks ago, but the fact that he's going 21-0 this year at WrestleMania as far as Undertaker goes, and the fact that the drinking age is 21, it kind of ties in nicely if they were to mention that, something along those lines. But yeah, on that note, the CM Punk and Undertaker match is confirmed this week on Old School Raw, and I couldn't be any more excited for it. So it's going to be a fantastic match, both in building towards it and the match of the night by far. So, yeah, I'm extremely looking forward to that match, and I'm very happy that it's confirmed on Raw this past week.
Indeed, indeed. And speaking of Old School Raw, unless you have any more things to say about Paul Bearer, let's move on to get to the results from this past Monday, which was a very good show, Old School Raw theme, live from Buffalo, New York. The first thing off the bat, Undertaker returns, and that was a fantastic way to start off the show. CM Punk comes out and says he should be main eventing WrestleMania 29, but he pretty much said that the fans screwed him. Randy Orton comes out, James comes out, and there's a match announced for later tonight that we have our first match of the night. Ryback vs. Antonio Cesaro. Ryback wins that with shell shock. Then we have Mark Henry vs. Zack Ryder, quick match. Sexual Chocolate wins that one. Dolph Ziggler taking on The Miz in our next match. Nice match, Miz with the victory. Miz with a figure four leg lock to make Ziggler tap, so Miz looking pretty strong coming out of that match. And then the WWE champion, The Rock, comes out. And we're all quite surprised to actually see the WWE champion on this show. He and John Cena go back and forth with a nice little promo. And then a Fatal 4-Way. It's confirmed that Fatal 4 is going to be Punk, Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. And the winner will face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29. We have Jack Swagger taking on the great American Hacksaw Jim Duggan. This match really never gets started, but he puts the Patriot Lock on Duggan, so some heel heat for Swagger. We have Kane and Daniel Bryan taking on Darren Young, Patterson, and Neil. And at ringside is the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Kane and Daniel Bryan win that one. And then we have Tensai and Brodus Clay taking on Heath Slater and Drew McIntyre. Tensai and Brodus Clay won that one and with Honky Tonk Man in the ring. And then we had Kofi Kingston versus Fandango. This match doesn't really get started. And then we have Triple H come out, give a promo, talk about Brock Lesnar. Then our next match, Wade Barrett versus Alberto Rio Del Rio wins this one, Cross Arm Breaker. Then we get a nice political correctness video from Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger. Then we have the New Age Outlaws taking on Primo and Epico. New Age Outlaws win this with the Fame Master on Primo for the win. And then we had a big birthday cake with the WWE standing around it. Mean Gene Okerlund comes out. Apparently it's May Young's 90th birthday. And that was a fun little promo. Then we had the Fatal 4-Way for the Shot at the Streak. Nice long match. It's the main event. CM Punk wins this match. He will face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29 on the grandest stage of them all. So this Old School Raw, what did you think of it, Graham?
Overall, I found this to be an extremely entertaining edition of Monday Night Raw, probably the best of 2013 thus far. The the initial episode of Old School Raw back in late 2010. I extremely enjoyed that show. Show even more so. We had the return of The Undertaker and many other legends from the likes of Ric Flair, Ted DiBiase, Dusty Rhodes, Sergeant Slaughter, Honky Tonk Man, and many, many others. Those were very fun appearances, especially Honky Tonk Man, a guy that we haven't seen on Raw since late 2008. It's the whole Hulkameter thing. That was great to see him. Flair was very energetic, really injecting some live reaction or live energy into the crowd to a rather dead crowd over the course of the night. So that was great to see. Great match between Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. Another good match from Ryback and Cesaro, and of course the Fatal 4-Way match later in the night. So we had some good wrestling over the course of the show as well. So we had the legends, we had the matches, and of course the promos with Triple H confirming or challenging Brock Lesnar to a match at WrestleMania. That was a solid promo. We had the Rock and Cena promo, a very strong segment from those two, the best promo those guys have produced thus far. So that was great to see. Yeah, overall, I found this to be an extremely entertaining show, delivered on all fronts. And extremely got me excited for WrestleMania 29, because we were just talking about just last week how lackluster the show was looking up to this point. So I'm glad they're finally starting to set in stone some matches. The show goes. This past week, we got a clear indication that we were probably going to be getting The Shield versus Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. Not a huge fan of that match, but we're getting it from Phyllis. I'm fine with it. We're also more than likely going to be getting Ryback versus Mark Henry, a match that we've discussed on here numerous times in recent weeks. Glad that we're probably more than likely going to be getting that match after they tweeted this past week on Raw. So, yeah, overall, this is an extremely enjoyable show, and here's hoping to stick momentum going forward for the rest of the WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Now, the only thing I really didn't like about this past week's edition of Raw was how they set up the Undertaker-CM Punk match at WrestleMania. I mean, this is the streak. This is the Undertaker. This is the biggest match on the card, or at least tied with Cena and The Rock, and they have a fatal four-way to qualify for it. I mean, when you look at the past four WrestleManias the Undertaker has had against Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, both twice each, and those feuds were just amazing because they had so much backstory and everything. The only backstory that CM Punk and The Undertaker have is that one little feud that they had back in 2009, which The Undertaker took out CM Punk in about 8 minutes at Hell in a Cell. It really wasn't. I mean, it was an okay feud. I didn't have anything against it, but compared to these other feuds that The Undertaker has had, now I'm very happy that this match is happening. Don't get me wrong. I just think that they needed to build it better. They really should have started it earlier, but as we speculated before, Undertaker may or may not have been decided whether to wrestle WrestleMania or not. So, I don't know. I just feel like this needs some more backstory, some bigger feud building. It's going to be a great match regardless, I'm certain of it. But it won't have the same type of I'm not sure exactly what the word is, but the same kind of stuff that the Triple H matches had and the Shawn Michaels matches had.
It's going to be hard to outdo those respective feuds from WrestleMania 25, 26, 27, and 28 with Shawn Michaels and Triple H against The Undertaker. That was a fantastic feud for those past few years. They need to take a different approach this year's match by having CM Punk qualify for it. I'm glad they actually went that route the first time they've done that since 2009 when Shawn Michaels defeated Vladimir Kozlov and subsequently ended his undefeated streak in WWE to qualify to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So I'm glad they took that approach once again this year. That was great to see, and that we haven't seen since 2009. But also on that same topic, CM Punk, of course, as you were just saying, the feud does not feel as past feuds in the last few years. But on that same note, who else is better than CM Punk to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania? Of course, the obvious answer would have to be John Cena. I completely agree on that. But then again, he's currently tied with The Rock going into WrestleMania for the WWE Championship. So that's not possible at the moment. I would love to see that at WrestleMania 30. It's not possible this year. Sheamus would be a great match. I've wanted that for years, but it wouldn't make as much sense right now with Sheamus being a babyface. Maybe down the line, but just not right now. Maybe not ever, I guess, if Undertaker's going to be retiring next year. But even still, I wanted to see that match a few years ago when Sheamus was still here. Was still a result, but it's not going to work now. Big Show versus Taker, already seen it. Orton Taker, already seen it. And those are the top four guys right now, aside from John Cena and The Rock. I mean, everyone else is currently doing something. Ryback, way too soon for him. Wade Barrett isn't ready. Cesaro isn't ready. Miz isn't ready. So that's just what I mean. I mean, there's not many people to go against Taker at WrestleMania, so you might as well just put the guy who held the WWE Championship for 434 consecutive days against Undertaker at WrestleMania, which should be a great match. And, you know, we have about a month left of Raws. We have about four Raws left, I want to say, and two WrestleMania. So they have time to build it up. I will give it a chance. And as far as the build-up goes and the promos and whatnot, cause we all know that CM Punk could definitely carry a feud, and then you put him in the feud with The Undertaker. It's going to be fantastic. And as you said, their feud from late 2009 wasn't anything special. But then again, you think about the evolution of CM Punk over the last 4 years, from his pipe bomb in 2011 to his WWE Championship reign just this past year. It's going to be extremely interesting to see how a big 180 that he's done over the last 4 years in transforming his character into chicken shit heel on Friday Night SmackDown to one of the top heels in the company 4 years later going into WrestleMania. And he's very much deserving of the spot, as I said before, after holding the title for that long. And with that being said, I really want to see this match at WrestleMania over the WWE Championship. I said this a few months ago, but I want to see Kyle versus Streak, or Super Streak, I should say, with CM Punk as the WWE Champion versus Undertaker Streak at WrestleMania, and then he would retire it, and, you know, anniversary of the title in a few weeks. You could have done that. Obviously, did not take that route with Rock winning the championship at Royal Rumble, but even still, it would be a great match regardless. And as I just said, they have quite a few more weeks until WrestleMania, so we should be able to see what's more from the season going forward. So I'm also glad they held off Undertaker cutting a promo from this past week, because that's something better saved for next week's Raw as well.
The only problem I had with CM Punk being the WWE Champion at WrestleMania is a couple things, actually. One, then you leave John Cena with really nothing to do unless he's just going to face the Rock in a non-title match, which really wouldn't be good. And also, Rock, at least I'm complaining, I'm not sure if you are, that The Rock as WWE Champion isn't on every single Monday Night Raw. Well, The Undertaker's not going to be on every single Monday Night Raw, because it's obvious he would win the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. And that's the problem I would have had with CM Punk being the WWE Champion at the time. I think it actually is better this way. That way they could just focus on the match. We don't have to worry about anything coming of it. We just know it's going to be a great WrestleMania match.
That's true. And we'll more than likely steal the show, especially following that Punk Cena match and Raw from last week. That was fantastic. It's going to be extremely difficult for Cena and Rock to outdo that. I don't think they will, but even still, here's hoping that their story that they're telling at the moment. And I'm going to say no, too. I love the feud, and I love their segment that they cut this past week on Raw. Very strong segment from those two. But before I go any further, we do have another caller in line with the area code of 347. So please state your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on old school Raw and the Undertaker Streak going to WrestleMania 29.
Graham, what's up, man? It's JCD.
Hey, how's it going, JCD?
Hey, good. I like the way they did it with Taker. It was simple yet effective. And, you know, you guys were saying before, you know, what story are they going to tell? Like you said, they've got 4 weeks. And if anyone is going to be great to tell a story, it's going to be Punk. And there's so many different ways Punk can go with it. Punk could talk about how everyone talks about the streak. Well, screw the streak. Look at my championship run. Punk could bring up 2009. You beat a kid back then. Now I'm a man. Look what I've done since then. You've wrestled 4 times since then. I've wrestled every single night. You know, so there's a bunch of different ways. Plus, Heyman's going to be involved. You know, there's a lot they could do with it. I'm very interested to see Punk's first promo Monday night about this. And Taker's going to be out Raw. And, you know, with the obvious yesterday, this is going to be very interesting Monday night with Taker and, you know, even how far they're willing to let Punk go.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not saying no, too. The fact that, what was I going to say? Oh, the fact that another major concern of what people are worrying about is the fact that Punk has lost the last 3 big matches that he's been involved in against The Rock at Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, as well as John Cena last week on Raw. Now, I'm okay with this match happening, especially given the fact that Punk is undoubtedly going to look strong to see. The match, as we discussed, is going to be fantastic, and Punk is surely able to get a lot of offense, and so I have no worries about that whatsoever. But even still, I'm extremely interested, as you just said, JCD, in how the promo is going to go down on Monday night. Punk is going to carry this feud, as well, The promos between them should be extremely interesting, because what we saw from 2009 was decent at best, but as we just discussed, Punk has transformed a lot since then, so these promos are going to be fantastic. But I think the major concern, as I just said, with what people have with this match is the fact that Punk is going to look weak at coming out of WrestleMania. There's really no need to worry about Punk. I mean, we talked about this last week, but following WrestleMania, just give him time off. Just give him a break.
Yeah,
exactly.
Was it on your show last week when I said, you know, you have after the match, you have Taker kind of lift Punk up like he did with Jeff Hardy and give Punk that look like you're the man?
Yep.
I know I said it on one, it was either my show or your show last week that I said that's how you make Punk look like $1 million in defeat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were saying that last week here on Spoilers. It would be perfect. It would be perfect. I mean, you don't even have to turn him face. I mean, it would be a plus, because we've already discussed that with the inevitable CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar feud happening at some point, that'd be a good way of turning Punk's face. And then Raw, you have Lesnar attack Punk, something like that. And, I think that'd be the perfect way to book, in my personal opinion, because, of course, the match is going to be great, but you need to have Punk go out in a two-out style that doesn't look weak following his losses at Elimination Chamber and Royal Rumble. And after carrying the WWE Championship for 434 days, I have no doubt in my mind that it's going to be a top star going forward as well. Undoubtedly, this is going to be the match of the night, but that's not really my worry about Punk losing and whatever. It's more the fact that this match is going to shine out all the others, including Rock and Cena, which is going to headline the show. I find it a bit hypocritical, but not surprising, given the fact that when CM Punk was holding the championship last year and was involved in a match at WrestleMania against Chris Jericho, that match was, of course, not the main event. Rock and Cena was. Now that Rock and Cena has the championship and Punk doesn't,
it's
not headlining WrestleMania. Again, I'm not surprised by that, but it is a bit, you know, hypocritical to say the least.
Not only is Punk Taker going to be the match of the night, but it's potentially could have the moment of the night, too, if they decide to do anything as far as a tribute to Berra. And I said this last night, I wouldn't be surprised if you see something with an urn at the end of that match. You know, when Taker maybe does that little on his knee and the hand up. I think a nice little tribute to Berra would be when the 21-0 goes up on the screen, you pop a picture of the urn, because that's what Berra was with Taker. That right there, that's your match of the night, and that's your moment of the night right there. At that point, I would just go to Rock and Cena and be like, don't even bother trying to top it.
it's a very good point. I completely forgot about the urn. Yeah, I think that'd be the perfect symbol, in memory of Paul Bearer at WrestleMania. That'd be the perfect way to, you know, just kind of give a nod to those that have respected his career up to this point. So, I think that'd be perfect fucking come WrestleMania.
Yeah, see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you were talking about how Paul Heyman would be affiliated in this feud somewhat, and I think, and this is where I would absolutely love Paul Bearer in this feud with both managers at ringside at the main event. And now I'm going to be thinking about this for the next 4 weeks and up to the pay-per-view, and it's just going to make me sad every single time.
Yeah, like I was saying before, I mean, we weren't able to see that one final Brothers of Destruction reunion last year on Raw 1000 with Paul Bearer. Now, we will never be able to see that again, but even still, at least we were able to see some sort of a reunion a few years back in 2010, I want to say, when they were feuding over the world title between Taker and Kane over on SmackDown. So at least we still have that, and we had Bearer come back last year for a brief appearance. And so at least that's cool to see, but even still, I mean, hopefully they give that urn, you know, a nice nod at WrestleMania, or even before then, you have CM Punk take the urn. I mean, again, he doesn't have to bash Paul Bearer. We already established that. He doesn't need to bash Paul Bearer, but he could do something with the urn over the next 4 weeks on Raw, you know, take it, steal it, whatever, saying that he has power over The Undertaker. Do something along those lines. That'd be pretty cool to see, too.
You gotta be careful with that. Because as good as Punk could be with that, Punk and Heyman could also be the guys that unknowingly cross a line with it, too. Because they would just be so good with it that it could go too far.
Mark Holloway.
Yeah, like we saw with the Lawler thing last year.
Yeah, I mean, the difference was Lawler was okay with everything. Lawler, you know, basically said, yeah, let's do it, hit me with it. The problem is there's no one here to say, yeah, that's okay, go with it, do it.
Yeah.
Have you guys, I got on a little late, did you guys talk at all about the possibility of him in the Hall of Fame this year?
Yeah,
we talked about that brief, a little earlier on, yeah.
And where did you guys stand with it?
I stood with that right now his death would overshadow the other five who are well-deserving of the Hall of Fame spot and really deserve their moment. My idea is to put him in next year where he really deserves and won't overshadow anybody, won't be overshadowed by anybody.
Okay. Yeah, I would not be surprised if Monday night, I've seen the tribute video. It's up on the WWE's website already. I was saying this last night. I wouldn't be surprised if Monday night that video ends with an announcement. I could see him doing it.
Yeah, I'd rather not. Like, I wouldn't have too many complaints if he went in this year. I think it'd be better for all parties involved if he went in next year.
Yeah, especially if that's going to be Taker's farewell.
Yes, definitely. Because we don't know what's going to happen going forward. So that's kind of where I stood on, and Graham kind of agreed with you. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. So, yeah, and we were just discussing CM Punk, Monday Night Raw, and everything else that's going on and how Heyman is going to be affiliated in this feud.
Heyman's got a lot of history with Taker.
Yeah, back in 2004, you know, with the whole Dudley thing, when he came back in 2004, and I'm sorry, with the whole Dudley thing, and when he was with Brock Lesnar in late 2002, he's got quite a bit of history with Undertaker, so it could be interesting come WrestleMania if they decide to do anything with Paul Heyman, and given the fact that Paul Heyman's going to be in both the corners of CM Punk and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, that's an impressive feat all in itself, too. He's pulling double duty at WrestleMania, so... Kudos to him, but he's definitely
going to
play an important
factor
with Undertaker. It's
going to
be interesting and especially fun going forward.
You see, maybe if they don't want Heyman coming out for both matches, maybe they can do something like whether Lesnar or Punk went into their matches, one of them could tell Heyman, you know, I got this, same about. So they don't want Heyman going out for both matches.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Either that or the fact that Triple H destroys Heyman and during the match or something like that, he takes him out, and then you have Punk and Taker later in the night, so he can't come out for that. So, yeah, either scenario would work.
Yeah, because if you go with the sense of, you know, Taker beats Punk, and like JCD was saying, Taker helps Punk back up, you know, it wouldn't look good. Either way, if Heyman's out, you know, if Heyman's out there, of course he's going to flip a vest, like, you know, what the fuck was that? And then if it's just Punk out there by himself, it'll look a little better.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It'll be very interesting going up to these next couple weeks of Monday Night Raw and WrestleMania. There's really so many different possibilities that they could take with this. I don't know, it's almost really hard to predict what can happen. It's almost hard to speculate just because there's so many different options.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we've already established half the card already, or at least some marquee matches. So at least, and as I said before earlier in the show, at least they're starting to tease most of the matches with Ryback and Henry, with the Shield match against Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. At least you get a clear indication of what those matches are going to be. The undercard is not what's selling WrestleMania. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, last year's undercard, a lot of people called it shitty. I thought it was decent at best. It wasn't anything great. But if you look back at WrestleMania 28, in my personal opinion, it was one of the best WrestleManias in recent memory, or in at least the last few years. You got Punk and Jericho. You got Sheamus with the world title. You got Taker and Triple H, Rock and Cena, all those great matches. And those are the matches the only thing to remember about WrestleMania. I mean, sure, the undercard helped too, and you shouldn't treat it as a pity job or whatever, but I mean, the marquee matches are what's selling this pay-per-view, so at least it's good to see that they have those set in stone for the most part. And everything else, you know, just a nice touch. You got, everything else is just a bonus on the side with, you know, the Shield match, hopefully an IC title match, a U.S. title match, or those matches are going to be great going into the show. So I'm looking forward to how those start to take form in coming week, and they start to confirm those either next week on Raw or the following week, because, again, we only have less than a mere month. WrestleMania is a month from today, so they have they don't have that much longer to start confirming these matches.
Well, coming out of main event last night, they were teasing something between Miz and Barrett.
Yeah, over the IC title. That would be cool to see, because they have yet to have a match on singles competition. So that would be a great match. And another match they were going to tease as well was Cesaro versus Sin Cara. After Sin Cara beat Cesaro on main event last night. Again, not a match that I want to see main event. We've already established that. I think Christian would be a better choice at this point in time in the history between those guys, but Sin Cara, I have no complaints about that, because those guys put on good matches.
Yeah.
We're going to another. One second, we just have another caller on the line. Area code 646. If you'd like to give your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on the road to WrestleMania.
Hey Graham, it's me, Joseph Fernandez.
Hey, how's it going, Joseph?
What were you guys discussing right now?
We were just talking about the undercard for WrestleMania.
Oh. Well, so far, the only three confirmed matches, and the undercard is looking to be, I think you guys mentioned this before, Ryback versus Mark Henry. That's they've already laid the groundwork, and hope to see it at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and also, you guys were talking about right now about Antonio Cesaro versus Sin Cara, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw that match on main event, and they've always had good matches, but have you guys seen the match yet?
I didn't see it in its entirety, but from what I saw, it was a really good match, though.
Yeah, it was a good match, yeah.
Yeah, Sin Cara was definitely on fire during that match. He didn't Cesaro didn't dominate him. The most part, Sin Cara definitely, his style and Cesaro's style, those styles, they really create this great chemistry. I mean, Sin Cara is known to not have adapted to the American style, but Cesaro, you know, he's not the American style, he's a different style. So, you know, when Sin Cara works with these types of guys, the guys that have styles that are not American, that are unique, he can really put on some great matches, and so that's why I will have no problem if it's Sin Cara versus Antonio Cesaro for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. Of course, I would like it to be Christian, but, you know, if he doesn't return, he probably never turn after WrestleMania, so might as well have Sin Cara versus Cesaro at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but by this point, I don't think we're going to see Christian. I was giving it another week, but by this point, I don't think we're going to see him back till after WrestleMania.
Yeah, more than likely. I mean, by this point, they have no mid-card to begin with. Again, we've already established this, but I do not want to see Miz versus Cesaro for the upteenth time at WrestleMania. They kind of blew off their feud last week on social media SmackDown, which was a great match, but it was a nice way to end it with Cesaro successfully retaining his title against Miz. So hopefully that feud is done with, and I don't want to see that again at WrestleMania. But, yeah, again, Christian would be a great candidate, and probably not going to happen at this point in time. Cesaro Cara would be a great match, as we saw in main event, but my only concern regarding that match is the fact that Sin Cara hasn't been anything since he came to the WWE. He's been involved with an attack team with Rey Mysterio since the summer, which has been great, but it's been so on and off over the last few months. It's just been ridiculous. It's just the fact that he has been booked to look like an enhancement to most people over the last few weeks. I mean, just last week, he dropped Mark Henry on Raw. I don't know. They have no mid-card anyway, so I have no complaints about this, because it's good to see that they're finally putting Sin Cara in a meaningful role after all the improvements that he's shown over the last year since his initial return from injury. So that's good to see, but even still, I don't think the fans are going to buy into Sin Cara winning the United States Championship at WrestleMania, because he's being thrown randomly into this matchup. And again, you never know. This match could end up a title rematch next week on Raw. Yeah, exactly. The match ends up on Raw SmackDown. Or even main event, you know. They just have that match, you know, a nice boost for one of the main shows, like we saw with Miz and Cesaro, like we saw with Henry and Kali. They just had many feuds to kill time before WrestleMania. I just don't want to see another dark match involving the U.S. title or a or a shitty battle royal, something that's, you know, advertised the last minute. That's going to do the title no good. I've said this a million times, but I'll say it again. The U.S. title has meant something in recent months with Cesaro as champion, aside from the fact that he's been losing so many matches lately. But despite that, made the title feel relevant again, and the final step in the process of making or restoring prestige in the championship is having it defended at WrestleMania. Now, I'm not talking about on the dark match, but I'm talking about on the pre-show. I'm talking about on the actual card, like it was back in WrestleMania 23 between Benoit and MVP. Could Christian be that guy to face? Probably not. But as long as it's not defended on the actual card, that's what I'm being content with.
I mean, the thing about the U.S. title is, yeah, Sin Cara and Cesaro would definitely have a great match. I don't think they will do it at Mania. I can see them just doing it on Raw or SmackDown, our main event. But at the same time, they might end up doing it at Mania because who else can they put against Cesaro for the U.S. title? I mean, and everyone else at this point. Everyone else at this point is, I mean, they're not going to put Miz in there again, and he's clearly they're teasing something between him and Barrett, which I can see that match happening for the IC title at Mania. So I mean, there's really no one else to put in there with Cesaro.
Yeah. Now, I think what the inner card needs for WrestleMania, and this is the way it's always been, is the championship matches. You have to have the United States Championship on there. You got to have the Intercontinental Championship. You got to have the Divas title on there. If you have those two matches on the undercard, then maybe a couple of other singles matches. We've already got four confirmed, so that'll make seven. With a four-hour show, I think we can maybe throw in a couple more. I know, and also the tag team titles, that would make eight. I'd love to see all the titles on the card. Maybe I'm not sure if that would happen or not. But I think if you put the four undercard titles, that's really going to strengthen the undercard. That's going to make the main event look even better, and then maybe have another singles match. Maybe Cody Rhodes and Goldust if they were to go that way. But I mean, they need to set up intercontinental feuds, and they need to set up feuds for everything. Now, what I would love, since it is a nice long Divas match, and this is what I've said since I said this a couple weeks ago, and I still stand by it, a good Divas match at WrestleMania will do wonders for the division going forward. I don't know who could really face our Divas champion, Caitlin, but they need to set something up. They need to give it some momentum. With all the titles that they have right now, I'd like to see at least three out of four of those on the card, if not all four. And I think that could really strengthen the undercard.
The thing is, AJ and Caitlin was rumored months ago, but I don't think they're going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what the hell are they doing with the Divas division? I mean, the Divas in total, I think, over the course of 2013, have only been featured on Raw maybe once or twice since Eve left the company a few months ago, back in January. They have hardly featured them on Raw at all. And I mean, given the fact they only have, five Divas in their division and the fact that it's a three-hour show, you would think that they'd be able to fit them in somewhere. And again, I understand how limited they are on Divas at the moment, but even still, AJ is the most relevant Diva at the moment. You just put those two in a feud together, but again, with WrestleMania being in a month, I don't see that happening. But again, I think it would be nice to see that Divas Championship defended at WrestleMania. The title was first created in July of 2008 and has yet to be defended at a WrestleMania. It's been involved in shitty matches over the last few years, from the Miss WrestleMania shit to the multi-man matches to the Maria Menounos crap and Snooki from 27 and 28. And more than likely at this point, we're going to be getting the same old shit, and I would not be surprised whatsoever. I mean, it's really a damn shame because they had Eve on a major role as this Divas champion. She was featured on almost every Raw while she was champion, despite that few weeks that she was injured. But Caitlin, as much as I love Caitlin, she's doing nothing for the title whatsoever. She gets a good reaction, but no one gives two shits about anyone else in the division. They were teasing Caitlin versus Layla a few weeks ago on SmackDown. They never followed up on that. I don't know what they're doing with that now, but I guess it's better than nothing. Again, I would love to see Caitlyn versus AJ. Definitely not happen at this point in time. But it's also a shame what they're doing with AJ, too. This lady was the general manager of Monday Night Raw a few months ago and was involved in the main event of WWE TLC just a little less than 3 months ago, too. She was the hottest angle on Monday Night Raw for quite some time, and they just completely dropped her off the radar along with Biggie Langston and Dolph Ziggler for no apparent reason. Not exactly sure why they're booking Dolph Ziggler and AJ the way they are, but going back to Dolph Ziggler on the same note, what are they doing with Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania? I mean, with Ryback slowly moving into the lead with Mark Henry, it was rumored last week that we were talking about this last week, I think, that they were rumored to be doing a Mark Henry Jericho matchup at WrestleMania. Thankfully, that's not happening, and more than likely at this point in time, we're going to be getting Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler, because that's the most logical feud that they can have at this point in time. I'm not sure when Jericho's coming back. I would assume it's next week on Raw, but yeah, you just put those two in a feud together, and again, it's a shame that AJ's not going to get her WrestleMania match this year unless it's a multi-man match. Highly doubt it, but again, it's in her hometown, it's in her home state of New Jersey, so it would have been so perfect if she was to defeat Caitlyn, her former best friend, to win her first Divas Championship at WrestleMania, but again, it's a creative team that we're talking about here, so I don't expect much out of them. It's just a shame that they're not doing anything with Dolph Ziggler and AJ at the moment. In fact, they're more than likely will not be a title match for the Divas at WrestleMania.
One thing that I would love to see is Trish Stratus, who's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. I can't remember if they're doing it the night before the night after WrestleMania. But regardless, the new Hall of Famer, Trish Stratus, in a match if she'd be up for it. Or at least making some sort of appearance in a Divas title match. Maybe a special guest referee. I think you put Trish Stratus as one of the biggest, as now a Hall of Famer, similar to that match, that would give a match a lot of credibility. And I don't really see how the creative team does not see the potential in this.
That's what they almost did a few years ago at WrestleMania 27, and they freaking buried it for Snooki when she was involved in that six-person tag team match with John Morrison, Trish, and Snooki against Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler. And that match was complete shit because Snooki was all over that thing for no apparent reason. So she took Trish Stratus' spot at WrestleMania. She didn't necessarily take her spot, but that was Trish's first match at WrestleMania in over 5 years. So that should have been her night, and sadly it wasn't. But as we were just saying, she's being ducked into the Hall of Fame this year, so no better time than the present for Trish Stratus to make her return to WrestleMania. Her versus AJ is a match that I would love to see, given there, you know, similar crazy chick gimmicks and, you know, the whole Mickie James thing, have Trish Stratus go with AJ at WrestleMania. Again, not all that likely with a month left. Unless they start building at the very last minute, I would not be surprised by that, but you can't really do Caitlyn versus Trish. That would make much sense, but yeah, you throw Trish in any sort of match at WrestleMania, that would be great. It would make the match worth watching and actually mean something, even if it was thrown at the last minute. So, yeah, that would be great to see as well.
Well, going back to the thing about Dolph Ziggler, pretty much at this point, I think it's very likely we're going to see Ziggler and Jericho because, yeah, Jericho is rumored to go against Ryback and also rumored to go against Mark Henry, which they've clearly planted the seed already for Ryback and Mark Henry. So those two guys that are left that don't have anything to do for Mania would be Jericho and Ziggler. So why not put those two in a match for Mania? And it makes perfect sense going back to Thunder Bomb.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel that they need to do something at WrestleMania to revitalize the Divas division. I think WrestleMania is the absolutely perfect place. Caitlyn and AJ would be great. Just anything is what I want. But I don't know. I said earlier that I'd like three out of the four titles that I mentioned earlier on the card to make the undercard a success, and I have a bad feeling that the Divas one is going to be the one that's left off.
I mean, they could do the Divas. I mean, like I said, AJ and Caitlyn was rumored months back.
Mm-hmm.
They can still do it. There's about four weeks left till Mania, so they can just throw something in there with Caitlyn and AJ, maybe just running into each other in the back, AJ flips out. You know, they can do something like that leading up to a match at Mania. With 4 weeks in advance, I think it's a good to go.
That's true. Yeah, they've never really had a lot of build for Divas matches in the past. I'm not talking about WrestleMania because they always throw those matches down to the last minute, but I'm talking about just Divas feuds in general. They really haven't had any build. They don't start building for Divas feuds weeks in advance. Usually they just throw them in the last minute. But, yeah, as you said, as long as they do a backstage segment or have AJ win number one contender match, just get her back in the ring because she's easily the division's best worker at the moment. I mean, that's not saying much. We only have five Divas, but even still, she should be Divas champion at this point in time. Getting a WrestleMania moment in her home state of New Jersey at WrestleMania would be perfect. But speaking of just titles in general, I don't know what they're doing with tag team titles either, because as we said last week, I surely do not want to see Kane versus Daniel Bryan for the tag team championships at WrestleMania, I mean, against one another. I do not want to see that match again, period. Not regardless of whether it's over a title or not, I do not want to see Kane versus Daniel Bryan again after we saw it quite a few times during the summer of 2012. Who they should face at WrestleMania if they were to defend their titles. Well, the Shield's off limits at this point in time, so I don't see that happening. But the primetime players also, Darren Young is from the New Jersey area. That would have been great if they got a title match at WrestleMania. Again, not likely after losing to Team Hell No once again this week on Raw. And besides that, there's really no one else. I mean, this week on Raw, I'm really looking forward to. We're getting New Age Outlaws versus the returning Team Road Scholar for officially broken up, so that doesn't make much sense. But even still, I'm looking forward to that matchup because that's been at live events for the past few months. Could be a great match this upcoming Monday night on Raw. That's obviously not going to be over the tag team titles, but if you get that match happen at WrestleMania 2, that'd be fantastic and a great way to kind of revitalize the tag team division in addition to the Divas division if they were able to throw a Divas title match on the card as well.
Yeah, I mean, I posted on my Twitter on Monday during the show. I mean, primetime players, I mean, Ted DiBiase could have done a lot for primetime players. I mean, you have the million dollar man gimmick, millions of dollars with primetime players. You know, it could have got them over. It could have won the match. DiBiase could have been their manager. I mean, that's something they had the last minute, but they could have gone with it. And it could have got them over, and it could have built them up to come and go into a match against Kane and Bryan at Mania. Because what I see most likely happening at Mania, not a match between Bryan and Kane, more of them just dropping the titles to the tag team, and then whether Bryan goes heel on Kane or Kane goes heel on Bryan, I think that's more likely to happen than a close match with him.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have to see come WrestleMania, but they need to finalize those guys in a match at WrestleMania soon, too. So to see them drop the titles in the coming weeks and just randomly face each other at WrestleMania, I don't think makes much sense at this point in time with only a month left until WrestleMania, but anything's possible. I mean, at this point, I just want to see someone take the titles off of Team Hell No. They do not need the championships anymore. Kane and Daniel Bryan are more than capable of being singles competitors at this point in time, so primetime players, I guess, at this point would be the prime candidates if Team Road Scholars aren't at the title picture anymore. I'm not exactly sure, but even so, I think primetime players could really shine as tag team champions if they're able to knock off Team Hell No in coming weeks.
I don't know. I just hope that we don't see one of the two, Kane and Bryan, turn on each other, then that's the match for WrestleMania. I don't want that. Nowhere near what I want. I'd actually be okay with them being tag team champions going into WrestleMania. If they lose the title before then, I'm okay with it. But I don't want to see them together at WrestleMania. I think that would just be, or rather, against each other at WrestleMania. That was really bad. That would be extremely bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, here's hoping they don't do that match again at WrestleMania because, again, not the most exciting match. But their split is inevitable. Hopefully they just get it over with sooner or later because we all know it's coming. But on that same note, though, we're going to be going off the live stream the next minute or so. So make sure to check back on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. The remainder of this podcast will be live once again next Thursday night at 5:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Central Time. And also listen to the weekly wrestling talk show up next on blogtalkradio.com/ZWWTS. They're going to be going live in their return show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be on that later tonight once we're done with spoilers. Make sure to check that out. And yeah, we're going to be tweeting out the remainder of the show following all, once we are finished with the remainder of the show in the next 15 minutes or so. So make sure you check back live for that. But yeah, I completely agree on Team Hell No. Here's hoping they split sooner or later. Just here's hoping we won't get a match between the two at WrestleMania 29 in singles competition.
Yeah. Could you say that again? Sorry.
Yeah, I just hope that we don't get the match between Kane and Bryan in singles competition at WrestleMania, because as I said before, we don't need to see that match for the 10th time at WrestleMania. Who, regardless of who's heel or who's face, I don't really care. I just don't want to see that match at WrestleMania, especially for the WWE Tag Team titles, because that just ruins the prestigious titles or whatever prestige they have left.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. The whole tag team, right? The division looks so promising just a couple months ago, and then it's just kind of gone downhill. Now, this new tag team with the Brutus and Tensai, I actually kind of like it. I may be in a minority there, but it is okay. That seems okay, but I don't know. I'm just kind of wondering what happened with all these potential tag teams that have just kind of fallen apart.
Yeah, from Road Scholars to, what was the other team that quickly dissolved? Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, those guys fell off the map for some reason. It's just a shame what's happened to the division, because it was really once promising, and then they just kind of split up all the good tag teams that they had left. And Team Hemo, it was extremely entertaining, and they still somewhat are to this day. That spot with Daniel Bryan taking the dollar bill out of Darren Young's mouth was hilarious on Raw this past week. But it's time to split the two off. They've been together for almost 6 months now. Daniel Bryan could be shining the world title picture right now, regardless of whether he's heel or face. I don't really care. They just need to get the titles off those guys so we can move into Daniel Bryan as a singles competitor once again and put the titles on guys that actually need the championships and aren't competing in random matches every week that no one really cares about.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see, after he's done with the titles, what they do with Bryan as a singles competitor. Because he did fairly well as a singles competitor. I'm just really hoping that they don't put him back in the mid-card or something like that. I think he needs to be in the main event, maybe for the World Heavyweight Championship. But I really just hope that they don't necessarily use the loss of the titles as a loss of momentum. I think they need to have something in mind before they send him off with the titles.
Yeah, agreed. I don't want to see Daniel Bryan back in the mid-card title picture. He is very much deserving of another world title run at this point in time, especially if it's against, or if it means being against like Del Rio, CM Punk possibly, Sheamus, all those matches that he had with all those guys last year were great. So here's hoping we see Daniel Bryan in the main event picture over on SmackDown once again in the near future.
Definitely. Now, kind of switching lanes a bit, we were talking about some of the other titles. What do you think we'll see with the United States title and the Intercontinental Championship going forward in the next few weeks?
Well, since Sheamus will more than likely be featured in the Shield match at WrestleMania, I don't see him working two matches at Mania. That feud with Wade Barrett wasn't teased this week on Raw, so I guess they're just kind of done with it. Maybe they'll blow it off next week on Raw. I don't know, but I guess we're not getting that good match of Barrett versus Sheamus at Mania, which is a shame, but hopefully we get it down the line for the World Championship, and it's not, you know, the feud isn't over a bunch of two shitty movies and stuff like that. So I guess we're not getting that match at Mania, but I guess that might possibly mean we're getting Barrett versus Bo Dallas. Again, not a match that they want to see at WrestleMania. I know it has the history from the Royal Rumble, but they've done a terrible job of following up on it. I know they've had a few, handful of brief run-ins over the last few weeks, but they've been so sporadic that it doesn't really mean anything anymore. No one remembers that feud at all, so they just might as well move on from it. And again, Bo Dallas is not ready for WrestleMania. He should not be getting WrestleMania payday when guys like Zack Ryder and many other enhancement talent who should be on the card aren't getting a payday because they're being kept off the card in favor of guys like Bo Dallas, who was just signed to the Raw roster no more than 2 months ago. So I don't want to see that matchup, but I could very well see that happening if they were able to get Barrett on the card, because he should be defending his championship at Mania, but I don't know how likely that is at this point in time. Then you have the U.S. Championship, another champion that's been booked in just shitty fashion in recent weeks. Another shame, but again, as we discussed before, Cesaro versus Nakamura, I guess, is a good candidate for the match at Mania. Again, don't really want to see Miz versus Cesaro again. They already had that feud get blown off last week on SmackDown. No need to continue it. And then there's also Christian, but again, as we already established, more than likely he'll be back after WrestleMania. So I've got my money on Sin Cara versus Cesaro at Mania for the U.S. Championship.
I'd have to be okay with... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, like I said, they kind of see something between Miz and Barrett on Main Event last night, so that's also another way they can possibly take. If they want to just have Miz go for the IC title again against Barrett.
Yeah, now, I'd be very okay with the Team Cara Cesaro match. Their styles clash a little bit, but I think that it could end up being a pretty good match. Cesaro's anti-Americanism would be kind of counter. It would definitely be countered not by an American, but by someone who's famous for wrestling in Mexico. And I'd like to see the dynamic of the feud in which they take. I think that could be a pretty good match, and that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I'm just hoping that they don't do Cesaro Miz. That would just be awful.
Yeah, definitely. As David just said, yeah, I completely agree on the Wade Barrett versus Miz match. Again, it would feel a little random at this point in time because they really have no motivation to be feuding, but they're both recently coming out with movies at the moment with the Marine 3 and Dead Man Down, respectively, so I guess that makes sense, but they did hint at it last night on the Main Event, as David just said. That'd be a great match. They have yet to engage in singles competition with one another, so that could be very exciting, very fresh, and get Miz in the match at WrestleMania as well after being, you know, left out. He was hardly, you know, advertised for the card last year after being added into the multi-man match at the very last minute. So after showing potential as a babyface in the last few weeks, especially after that great match with Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania, on Old School Raw from this past week, I would love to see either Wade Barrett versus The Miz at WrestleMania or Miz versus Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania after their great match from Raw this past week, especially if you're able to throw in Ric Flair, have maybe Flair turn on Miz and join Ziggler. That's another thing that a lot of people have been hoping for the longest time. That'd be great. But, yeah, Miz versus Ziggler or, you know, Ziggler-Jericho or Barrett-Miz, all great matches in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. At this point, we could either see Ziggler going against Miz or Jericho. But I'm going to go with Jericho. Because Jericho's the one that completely has nothing to do at this point. And Miz already kind of started something going against Barrett. So it would make more sense to do Jericho and Ziggler. But I wouldn't mind seeing Miz and Ziggler.
Well, as we saw this past Monday night with Miz actually winning against Ziggler, which kind of surprised me, I'd like to see maybe, I'm thinking of a triple threat match between Jericho, Miz, and Ziggler, which I think could work, but I think it would work better just singles if they just did Jericho and Jericho and Ziggler. I think that's the match that I really want to happen. But, I don't know. I feel Miz needs to be on the cards somewhere. I just really hope that they find a place for him.
Yeah, I mean, after Main Eventing the show back at WrestleMania 27 and successfully retaining his WWE Championship in the Main Event of the show, he more than definitely deserves the match at this year's WrestleMania. But then again, as I said before, the man was hardly advertised for last year's WrestleMania, just thrown on the card at the last minute in that multi-man match with John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long. So again, as long as he's advertised in a match beforehand with a guy like Wade Barrett or Dolph Ziggler or whoever, I'm content. Because, I mean, Miz hasn't meant anything in quite a bit. I mean, he's had quite a few matches, or good matches, with Cesaro in recent weeks. He had a good match with Ziggler this past week on Raw. The man deserves a match at WrestleMania. It's all a matter of who. I mean, he's not the only one, because there's other, you know, quite a few other people who need matches at WrestleMania and don't have a definite opponent in mind. So that's another thing I'm looking forward to in coming weeks, is the fact that where does Miz fit in the WrestleMania card? Where does he go? Who does he face? That's another thing I'm looking forward to finding out in the coming weeks on both Raw and SmackDown, respectively.
Yeah. Sorry, could you see the last part again?
The fact that that we don't know what match The Miz is going to be at WrestleMania, the fact that we have something to look forward to in coming weeks on both Raw and SmackDown, that, you know, what to look forward to, how he's going to be booked going into WrestleMania 29, who he's going to be facing. So that's something to look forward to in coming weeks.
One thing that I would actually love, not to challenge Cesaro for the United States Championship, but to challenge Bearer for the Intercontinental Championship, I think that could be a pretty good match.
Bearer versus Cesaro, is that what you just said?
No, sorry, Bearer Miz.
Yeah, exactly. As David was just saying before, that would be a great match. I mean, as I said, never been done before. It'd be extremely fresh. It would give Miz something to do. Barrett's not doing anything at the moment. It would be miles better than Barrett versus Bo Dallas. That match was not anything special a few weeks ago on Raw. And as I said before, Dallas does not deserve a match at WrestleMania at this point in time after not being shown on Raw. I mean, he was shown on Raw this week, but what, for like 2 seconds during the Mae Young birthday thing, which was hilarious, by the way. But even still, he does not deserve a match at WrestleMania at this point in time. Miz versus Barrett would be much, much more desired.
Yeah, no, like I've been saying, it just kind of seems like Bo Dallas disappeared. Like, WWE just dropped the whole Bo Dallas-Barrett feud. So I think even they realized pushing Bo Dallas this soon was a mistake.
It was. I mean, he's not all that great of a talent. I'm not bashing him. I have nothing against him, but he was mediocre at best. He really did not have anything that it quality to him. I mean, he's really nothing special. If they had maybe Bray Wyatt or Cassius Ohno or another NXT standout debut in that spot, I'd be much, much more content with it. But the fact that it was Bo Dallas doesn't intrigue me all that much, and I'm fine with him not being on television nowadays. He shouldn't really be pushed in that position at this point in time anyway, but at least they made an effort to push a young guy on the television by being featured in the Royal Rumble, because that's not something they usually do nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, now, I don't know. There's a lot of different possibilities that they could take. My, I really don't know who should face Cesaro, but my big thing, I want Miz and Barrett. That's the biggest match that I want on the undercard, besides the Divas match that I was talking about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, completely agreed.
So yeah, do you have anything else you want to talk about with this week going into WrestleMania?
Nothing all that much. I mean, as I said before, Old School Raw, excellent show. Looking forward to what they do next week with the confirmation of Lesnar versus Triple H, Punk and Taker, Rock and Cena, and also Swagger versus Del Rio for the World Championship at WrestleMania. And also, going back to the Rock and Cena match, because we weren't really able to discuss this before, another very strong segment from those two. We just said this last week and the week before that, but the fact that their promos were horrendous going into WrestleMania 27 and 28 was a real big letdown after the hype that it received for so long. Thankfully, I think the fact that they're confirming this match just now, or just as of last week, I think actually helped this feud, because it didn't drag it down. They didn't have a year to just throw insults at one another. That was completely bad. It was very bad booking, to say the least, but the fact that they took the serious approach this past week on Raw, that was reassuring. So I'm hoping that we see more of that going into WrestleMania, because once again, that was probably the best promo those two have ever produced with one another on Monday Night Raw. So again, hoping that they do more of that going forward, because that extremely got me excited for their WrestleMania match, which I thought was impossible.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead. Sorry
about that. Yeah, I agree. The promo, the segment was a really strong segment. And we saw a lot of what we didn't see last year. I mean, yeah, we saw the seriousness of the build-up, but they delivered a lot more of it in this one segment. I mean, you had John Cena come out, not say anything corny, anything funny, try to be a funny guy. He came out in an all-serious mood. And the back and forth between him and Rock, it was giving good time. I just thought it was great all in all. I loved it.
Yeah. I'm really liking the way that they're taking this feud so far. Now, I'm still kind of against the match in the first place, because I wanted a once-in-a-lifetime match, and that to be done, but you called it back in this summer and said that we were going to have a best 2 out of 3, and it's pretty obvious that Cena's going to win this match at WrestleMania 29. But I like the way that they're having the serious promos now, and this is really what needed to happen. Last year you had all the stuff where they hadn't had the match, and now they're familiar with each other. It's a heavy feud, and I'm looking forward to the match. I'm still kind of against it, but I'm looking forward to watching it.
I hope they don't do best of three series next year's WrestleMania. I mean, I was fine with their match last year. That was a good match. They had their good match, or they're going to have another good match this year. But the fact that they might be doing it again next year WrestleMania, what else do they have left in the tank? I mean, we were talking about this last week. The fact that they might not even have anything left in the tank for this year. I mean, the fact that they're taking a serious approach is reassuring, but if they took the shitty approach last year and the serious approach this year, what else do they have to say come next year? I mean, that's not something I really want to see come WrestleMania 30. I'd much rather see, as we said before, Cena versus Undertaker. Just let Rock face somebody else, because I believe he's been confirmed to be wrestling at WrestleMania 30, which is exciting, but just have him face a guy like, I don't know, anyone else who doesn't have a match come WrestleMania 30. I mean, that'd be great to see him face someone other than John Cena, a guy like CM Punk. I mean, he's already faced him, but I mean, someone else in that role, like someone like Daniel Bryan or Dolph Ziggler or Wade Barrett, an up-and-coming superstar that he can face, and then they can benefit from facing The Rock at WrestleMania. And with that being said, too, and again, just have Cena win at WrestleMania, just have it end there, shake hands, just walk off, you're done, just end it there, let Cena be champion, just don't continue to shoot past WrestleMania 29, that's all I ask.
Go ahead.
Hello? Oh, sorry about that. I thought I disconnected.
Yeah, well...
Oh, okay.
The thing about... Yeah, I mean, doing it again next year, like this year, I was against it, but to this point, I don't really mind it anymore. But to do it again next year on WrestleMania 30 is just too damn much. I mean, do we really need to see these two go at it for a third WrestleMania in a row? I mean, the promo, the segment they pulled out on this past Monday, I was surprised because, like, me and, like, what JCD was saying last week, you know, we're going to see a love fest between these two going into WrestleMania, which was the complete opposite. We saw a complete serious build-up segment. And I was very surprised at how good it was because I myself was expecting some sort of, like, you know, kiss-ass segment between The Rock and John Cena, but we got the complete opposite, which I was very surprised and very happy to see. And next year, and to do it again next year, really, what more can you do?
I mean, I understand that we've got Stone Cold versus The Rock at 3 WrestleManias, but those are spread out. We got it at 15, 17, 19. If we were able to get Rock versus Cena at 28, 29, 30, that's just overkill. And again, it's not going to market much. I mean, I know it's a moneymaker of a match, but so is Cena versus Taker. That's going to be just as good to have that in the show. If Taker's match is going to be indeed at WrestleMania 30, which I believe it should be, it should end at 20 now, but if you're going to continue it, at least have him finish off at WrestleMania 30. And then you just do that match, you just have Undertaker end his career in the main event of WrestleMania. It's perfect. Just end it there, and that's all I ask, because just doing it on for another year is just completely pointless if neither guy has something to benefit from if Cena's already beaten him once and same Rock. So here's hoping they just end it at WrestleMania and just move on from there, just have CM Punk. I'm sorry, you just have The Rock go away for a little while and slowly comes back until for another feud to show up that doesn't involve John Cena.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The way that they're looking, especially if Cena wins against The Rock at WrestleMania 29, then I assume that they're going to do a best 2 out of 3 now. What could happen is what happened with Stone Cold and The Rock, where Stone Cold won the first two and then The Rock finally won the third. I could see that happening with Cena winning at WrestleMania 30. Now, I think it's more likely that he'll win this year, but I can definitely see it happening.
I'd be surprised if that happened, because, I mean, if you had Rock retain the championship, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, there's no money in the bank. I mean, because Dolph Ziggler applies to the World Heavyweight Championship, and I want to see that change courses and have him cash in the WWE champion, just have him go for the world title. But with that being said, I don't know what you would do with The Rock. I mean, that would be a huge, shocking outcome. And, I mean, at last word, I don't think he's confirmed for Extreme Rules. There were rumblings going around saying that he was rumored to be at the event, that he will be wrestling at the event, but I think that's been since changed. But, I just don't know what you would do in that case if Rock was to win at WrestleMania. That would come as a huge shocker if that was to happen. But as much as I would love to see that happen, having seen a win, I'm fine with that because, as I've said before, he hasn't held the title since October 2011. So I'm completely fine with him not winning the championship at WrestleMania because, you know, all passing torch yet, all the stuff that we speculated last year with Cena winning is more than likely happening this year, and I'm fine with it because as long as Cena's reign actually means something and he doesn't drop it a month later because all of his latest reigns in the title in 2011 and 2010 respectively, and even before that, they were mostly meaningless. He only held the title for a few months, and his feuds weren't all that memorable. As long as it's treated as a big deal, that's all I ask from John Cena and The Rock on WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, it really all depends on who wins at WrestleMania to see where they take it. For now, I'd prefer if they don't take it to next year, but I don't know, I just have a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach that they will.
If they're going to do a best of three series match, just do a freaking SummerSlam or something like that. I don't want to see a WrestleMania 30, God no, but it was rumored that we were going to see the best of three match, or the best of series match between the two at this year's WrestleMania after having a rematch at SummerSlam last year. Of course, they didn't end up going that direction, but I could see why they could do that this year with either Rock winning this year, Cena winning this year, WrestleMania 29. We have a rematch at SummerSlam instead of WrestleMania, you know, just do it a little bit earlier. So I could see that happening. But again, if neither of them is going to turn heel, because we said this, I think you said this last week, Dave, you proposed this idea that after Rock wins or Cena wins or whoever, you have Cena turn on Rock and it produces this huge, monumental WrestleMania moment, and then that sets up the rematch at SummerSlam or something like that, I don't know, but I think that if we were going to see a best-of-series match or best-of-three match between these two guys, that would have to be the way that it would have to go down. But, again, I don't see that happening because it's unfortunately all that unlikely.
Yeah, because maybe, like I was saying last time, you know, if they really wanted to pull the trigger on Cena turning heel, why not do it this year if Rock does indeed beat Cena again to retain the title? But this is all his booking of Rock was still booked for Extreme Rules, which I've heard I think it's confirmed that he's not. That would lead up to the rematch at Extreme Rules, you know, I guess, you know, getting the title off Rock.
Sorry, what was that last part you cut out of it?
Oh, with them having the rematch at Extreme Rules and, you know, getting the title from Rock. But only if Rock was still confirmed for Extreme Rules, which I've heard he's not.
Yeah, Rock is booked for Extreme Rules, so I could see a match. Yeah, that's what I said. Especially if Cena wins, he'll have the rematch clause at Extreme Rules. I'd love to see what kind of match they end up doing. You know what? I'd love an Iron Man match between these two at Extreme Rules. I think that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good, actually. I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. If it's to blow off their feud, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Graham, what do you think
of it? It's an interesting idea, but I think it's more likely for two guys like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk who could go on for a full hour. I mean, as we saw last year's WrestleMania, Rock was winded by the first 5 minutes. I mean, that wasn't the case in Elimination Chamber or Royal Rumble, thankfully, but it's going to be interesting to see how his match with Cena compares with this year's match with Cena compares to last year's match with Cena. I mean, it was solid. It told a great story, but from an in-ring standpoint, it wasn't a five-star Matt classic. So it's all going to depend. I mean, if Rock shows, you know, improvement in the ring as far as, you know, agility goes and whatever, stamina, then I would be a little bit more open to that idea. But at this point in time, Cena could see going for a full-on hour, as we saw with Shawn Michaels at, back in Raw back in 2007. But
The Rock, I think, is what I'm a little bit more concerned of wrestling for a full-on hour. I mean, we've seen him compete in Iron Man matches in the past. That was well over a decade ago. So that's my only concern, if we were able to see that.
Yeah, now, all right, so do you have anything else to talk about before you go off the air?
I think I'm good.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at SirBen_WE, and you can find this podcast at WrestleEnigma.com along with my writings and Graham's write and Graham's occasional writings as well. And you can follow this podcast, at Spoilers Podcast. You can email us, SpoilersPodcast@gmail.com.
You guys can check me out on Facebook simply by searching Graham GSM Matthews. Follow me on Twitter and shout at SaveUsGSM, @Save_Us_GSM. Search me on Bleacher Report by searching Graham GSM Matthews. Check out our host site, WrestleEnigma.com, as I was just saying, as well as ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check out me on YouTube at TBDiossi Priceless 9, as well as my website at NextEraWrestling.Willoughby.com for all the WWE teammates, rumor, recaps, and more. And also make sure to check out Spoilers every Thursday night at 5:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Central Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio and my other radio show, Savers GSM, every Wednesday night at 10 Eastern Time, 9 Central Time on PW247.net. And we'll see you next week, guys.
All right, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week, 5:30 Eastern, 4:30 Central. Thanks for listening.